Welcome to Deb and Friends Quest for Connection, a podcast that connects seekers and sages, and where culture, spirituality, and science intersect. I'm Deb Bowen, your anchor host, and I'm a spiritual educator and more, and you can learn more about me, this podcast, and my services at www.debbowen.com. And I'm so delighted and honored that you have joined me this week. I have a very special guest with us. I'm so excited. I have a zillion questions for her, and I know she's got a zillion and one answers. So welcome this evening, Ursula Duffy, who is an astrologer and knows all things of the stars. Welcome, Ursula.
Hi, Deb. I'm so grateful and honored to be here. Thank you.
Oh, thank you. I'm so excited you're here. So, Ursula, I went back in preparation for our conversation this week and looked at my astrology chart. And I am a Libra. That's my sun sign. And my rising sign is in Leo. And my moon is in Capricorn. And some other stuff in my chart. And I have real pretty pyramid-y looking triangle things in my chart. And that's all about what I know about my astrology chart. So straighten me out, help me understand it, and let's start for me and maybe for some other folks who might be like me at the beginning. What is astrology?
Astrology, by definition, is the ancient study of time and light. So when we're talking about time, we're talking about three different layers of time. The first one is Chronos. So that is the time that we live by here on Earth. Think minutes, hours, days, weeks, measurable time. Then we get into the realm of Kairos, which is the present moment, kind of where we all strive to live in. It's the time of synchronicity. So think of all things that happen magically to us in our lives, sort of without effort. And then we also, beyond that, is cosmic time. That's time that's boundless, endless, timeless. It's the time of the universe, things that we can't even measure. Think about how we hear the past and the present and the future all existing at the same time, kind of things that we sometimes can't wrap our human minds around. And then when we talk about light, we're talking about the light of the sun and the light of the stars. We're talking about consciousness itself. And then if you think about how astrology works, think about how the moon reflects the light of the sun back to the earth, and that influences our planet, our tides, us as humans, especially women, animals, plants. So the moon reflects that light back to us, and that's sort of our most direct relationship that we have that we can see, because it's changing all the time. But also think that the light of the planets and the stars are also being reflected back to us. So it's the study of the consciousness of the universe and of ourselves. And when we think about the astrology chart itself, we're looking at all of the myth and the meaning that the planets have taken on over thousands of years. We're looking at multidimensional symbols, and we're speaking the language of multivalent archetypes. And if that doesn't do it for you, then just fall in love with the mystery, because we really don't know. We just have to trust, you know, right?
Exactly, you know. And as you were talking, of course, you know how much I love mythology, and our listeners certainly know how much I love mythology. And so when I think of constellations in the sky, and I think of Orion's Belt, or, I don't even know, all of the constellations in the sky, and I know that they come from ancient cultures, Egyptians, Roman, Greek. And so speak to us about the history of how the study of the stars and the mythology came to be.
Astrology can be traced back to ancient cultures thousands and thousands and thousands of years ago, ancient civilizations all around the world. And a lot of the mythology that's incorporated into how we use it now came from Greeks and Romans. So the planets are named after the Greek and Roman gods. So that has been in place for millennia at this point. I've read, I think, in a couple of books that even the three wise men were astrologers, and that the Star of Bethlehem was actually a conjunction of some of the brightest planets in the sky. So we can think about how when you look up at night and you see, especially now, we see Venus after sunset, imagine, you know, Jupiter right next to that and think about how bright that must have been, especially with no light pollution.
Yeah.
So, and they've, you know, you can trace it back to navigation aids for sailors and explorers, and that's all they had, you know, the compass and the stars. So it's rooted in our history. And then colonial times was when it was brought to the United States from Europe, and the popularity started to grow in the late 1800s, but it was actually outlawed, kind of like a lot of what we study, our love of the occult sciences. It was banished. It was a crime to practice. And then that sort of phased out in the early 1900s, and the popularity grew from books and magazines and newspapers, sort of, you know, what people are mostly familiar with now, sun sign astrology and horoscopes and that kind of thing.
Interesting.
And how about Jung? How did Carl Jung's work connect to astrology?
He was a closet astrologer for years. He was drawing up the charts of his patients unknowingly to them, I think, I'm pretty sure, for a really, really long time. And towards the end of his practices, he revealed that he was doing that.
For goodness sake, you know, he was also a closet tarot reader. You know, he was fascinated with tarot. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about that? He's an amazing man to me. I love Carl Jung, you know, I really do.
So do I, especially when we're talking about synchronicity.
Absolutely.
So how does it work, and why does it work, I guess?
So when you look at the chart, so you said you're a Leo rising, Capricorn moon, and Libra sun. So in order to figure that out, what we need is three pieces of information. We need your birth date, your birth time, and your birth location. And what the time gives us is what's called the rising sign or the ascendant. And that's the sign that was rising on the eastern horizon at the moment of your birth. And what that does when we have the time is it sets up the houses of the chart. So the chart's like a big wheel, it's like a big pie, and there are 12 slices. In the house and sign system that I use in my practice, it's called whole sign. So each house is one sign. It doesn't drift. The houses don't drift across. And then that's a snapshot of, you know, the energetics of the time that you were born. So that tells us a lot. Where the planets are placed, that tells us a lot. How the planets relate to each other tells us even more parts of the story. And there are other things in the chart that we can look at to figure out what our soul's lessons are. You can look at the birth chart as your soul's lesson plan for this incarnation. You can look at it as a map of your psyche. You can look at it as your soul's fingerprint. And the planets tell us what, and the signs tell us how and why, and the houses tell us where or the areas of life that things are happening. And they all relate to each other. And then as we move from that moment in time when we're born, the planets are all in constant motion. So these energies are always influencing us with our own energetic imprint, but also to each other constantly, because they're always moving. So we look at the birth chart itself, and then we look at where things are in the sky at the moment, say you get a reading, and then we can see what planetary cycles are being highlighted, what areas of life things are happening. There are certain planets that work in cycles of time, like Saturn works in 7-year cycles, especially 30-year cycles, Jupiter 12, Uranus 84, there are some things that you go through that some people will never experience because some of the planets move so slowly that they only transit part of our chart our entire lifetime.
Wow. You know, I had
it
really is. I mean, I'm trying to process all you're saying here. I had a psychic tell me many years ago,
I can remember her exact words. She said, "You didn't come into this lifetime under the sign of Libra because your scales are balanced, but because you need to learn balance."
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that was such a powerful thing. It stuck with me all these years, and I believe it to be true for me. Does that resonate for you?
Yes, I'm also a Libra sun.
Oh, are you really? I'll be darned.
I am. So, I mean, obviously it matters what house it's in and what aspects it makes to the other planets. But, yeah, I believe that to be true for sure. Like, our soul is so intelligent, and we're here in Earth school, you know, as you teach. And it's just, it's the way that things unfold from the moment that you're born. And if you look back in time, like, before I learned astrology, I didn't really understand, you know, things that were happening in my life were in divine timing. But as I've learned and I've gone back and I've seen things that were happening at those moments, especially big events in my life, it's incredible to see, you know, what planet was there or what was going on. But yeah, the lessons for sure.
It's amazing. It's so much more complex than reading a paragraph in the newspaper with some astrologer who says today's this thing's going to happen to you, right? Way more complex than that.
Way more complex. You're so much more than your sun sign. More than your sun sign. Yeah. And the three basics, like you said when you first started, were sun, moon, and rising.
Uh huh.
That's what most people usually know.
Yeah, and I have some parts of my chart have nothing in them. Like I have nothing, for example, in Aquarius or Taurus or Aries. I have no planets in those signs at all. And I know that probably means something too, where I don't have stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I have several empty houses as well. And I've learned that primarily will mean that when something becomes, when one of the planets moves an aspect to it, so whether it, like you said, you have a triangle, so that's called a trine, and that energy flows very harmoniously. So when something moves into an aspect with one of those planets in your chart, it activates that part, or when it moves opposite, especially. So I find that a lot of things happen for me when things are opposite. The signs where I have planets in my empty houses, it's called when they're transited. So that's like an activation of the chart.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So using a computer program that I have, I did, I periodically just do small charts for folks. And I had somebody who wanted me to do charts for her newborn twin boys, and they're fraternal twins. They're not identical.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were born 4 minutes apart. Their astrology charts, of course, were virtually identical.
Mm-hmm.
But I also did their numerology charts. And based on their names, dramatically different personalities, dramatically different circumstances that are going to evolve in their life according to their numerology. And I did these charts for these children without having seen them. They were just born. I mean, literally little tiny babies. And I guess they were maybe 4 or 5 months old by the time I met them. And I met this family in a restaurant to have lunch with them. And so the parents and I were hugging because we're old friends. And I said, okay, tell me who's who. And my friend Michelle, the mom, looked at me. She said, no way. You're the psychic. You tell us. I thought, oh, God. So I said, give me a minute just to kind of watch, you know. It was so clear how different these little boys were, even at that mm-hmm. age. And I said, this one's this child and this one's this. And she said, you're exactly right. That's, you got it. And then as I have watched them grow up, they're now, I don't know, 4 or 5 by now, and entirely different personalities, but almost identical birth charts. What does that say?
Well, as we said, each each soul comes in with a specific lesson. So there's that. They definitely have separate soul lesson plans.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's always free will too. So this has been studied. I listened to a podcast, I think it was over the summer. It's called The Astrology Podcast by Chris Brennan, and he did a whole show on the problem of twins in astrology. And he did examples of this exact situation. And they're two different people.
Absolutely.
I find that more fascinating probably than most things to study is how identical charts play out with different people, you know, with siblings, with twins like that. It blows my mind. Astrology continues to blow my mind all the time.
I'm sure it does. You know, it certainly did mine with these two little guys. I mean, you know, delightful children, but as different as night and day, and mm-hmm. 4 minutes apart in age, you know. Just fascinating mm-hmm. stuff.
It is.
Before we move on, because I got a bunch of other questions here, let me go back and clarify another definition I need to check on. And that is the relationship between astrology and astronomy.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about that language a minute here before we move on.
As the way that I see it, they are both sciences. Astronomy is the science of where the planets and the stars are in the sky and their movement. And astrology, to me, is a bit more of an art. And I would like to pull in a quote from the book *The Inner Sky* by Stephen Forrest, elaborates this. Yeah, that I think perfectly describes this conundrum. And it's: astronomers seek to know the form of the heavens, while astrologers pursue their meaning. Astrology is the poetry of astronomy. It is not so much a study of structure as of significance. Not what the sky is, but what it says to us. And again, that's Stephen Forrest in the book *The Inner Sky*.
That's just lovely.
Yeah, that I read that book, and yeah, that was one of my favorite lines in that entire book.
When I was in college, I wanted to take an astronomy course. I thought that would be fun, and I knew that, you know, it required a lot of stargazing. And I thought, well, how cool is that? And then I realized that the course was in the physics department. And I went, whoa, Deb, reel yourself back in here, girlfriend. That's way too sciencey for you, right? and back in those days, it really would have been. And I talked to several folks who had taken that course, and they said, it's the hardest thing we've ever taken in our lives. Don't do it.
Mm.
It's not fun. And I thought, okay, never mind, I'm not going to take that. But why don't they have an astrology course? That might have been more fun. There was not an option of an astrology course, and I didn't even try the astronomy course because it was in the physics department. So I'd much prefer the poetry than the structure, I think.
Than the math.
The first astrologer I ever knew had books. I don't know what the plural of this word is, but he had an ephemeris. Ephemeris? I'm
mm-hmm.
saying it right?
Mm-hmm.
And he did all of these mathematical calculations to do charts. This was back in the 70s, maybe, I guess. Wow. So even
and
that
they
required
have computer programs.
Yeah, right. Do you trust those programs?
I do. There are some that are far more superior than others. So fortunately, I had a very good teacher and was steered in the right direction as far as the two programs that I use.
Okay. Oh, good. Okay. All right. So astronomy is the study of what the planets are and how they're positioned and the relationship to each other and all that stuff. And astrology is about what they mean and how they're connected mythologically and so forth with each other.
Yes.
Is that a simplified description of what you said?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. All right, great. So many years ago, folks, many, many years ago, I had my first reading, psychic reading, with a wonderful woman who even today is still gave me one of the very best, most accurate readings I have ever had. She was just great. And not terribly long after I had that reading with her, I was in a bookstore in the center part of the state, and it was close to a metaphysical bookstore as one could find back in those days. And I had an armful of books, and I took them to the cash register, and I was just going to, and I said to the cashier, I just want to put these aside. I'm not through shopping. And so I laid the books down one at a time, and I had this book in my hand that I didn't remember picking up, and it was called The Inner Sky. And I said, I don't think I want this one. I don't know how I got this one. Let me go put it back. So I did. Walked back to the shelf, put the book back in the astrology section where I got it from, and went on and did some more shopping and got another armful of books and went back to the cash register and laid the books, the second batch of books, out on the counter. And there was the book again, this astrology book. And so I rolled my eyes and I just said, okay, I don't know why, but all right, I'll buy it. So I did. And I got it home, and two things struck me. One was it turned out that this man who wrote the book used John Lennon's birthday as his example of working your way through an astrology chart. And my birthday and John Lennon's are very close together. So that was interesting. And the second thing was that the book was dedicated to the woman who had done my reading. And that book was The Inner Sky by Stephen Forrest. I'll get it out in a minute. The Inner Sky by Stephen Forrest. And I was like, whoa. And so when Ursula and I started talking and started planning this discussion tonight, here all of a sudden we're both just quoting this amazing book, and I just love the synchronicity in that, Ursula.
Me too, because I don't think, when you told that story on the shows before, I think it was one of the ones or a couple of the ones where you did asking for help when you go into bookstores and libraries and things from your spirit guides.
Right.
And you never revealed the title of the book, as far as I can remember.
I mean,
I thought that was especially cool when we were talking and then discovered that. And then especially going back to your reading. It's just
Yeah, it did. Well, all those
beautiful synchronicity.
I love it. I just love it. Yeah. So tell us some of the things that Stephen Forrest, I want to say, I just keep wanting to do an old musician, Stephen Forrest has to say about astrology.
In that book, he does go into some of the history, which is helpful. So this was my beginner astrology book when I started taking my intensive in 2018. It was the book that my teacher recommended in one of the first classes, and I read it. It was the first astrology book I ever read while I was doing my program. And he just the way he does speak the language of the art and the poetry, and he makes it so much easier to understand to someone who just wants to read something simple, but also for students who want to take it farther, which is really helpful. And he just lays it out. He starts out with the history. He does the mystery chart, as you said, which I thought was also cool, too, because it's close to my birthday. So I thought that was a cool synchronicity.
I think it starts with
the signs, and then he goes into the houses and the planets. And that's the content of the book. It's the guts, you know, the guts of astrology, essentially. There is a chapter in there about how to do a chart by hand. I have never done that. It probably will be good practice for me to do at one point, but I have not done that. And it's just a wonderful foundation. You can tell how in love he is with astrology, and it comes through in that book for sure.
Interesting. Wow. And I'll post a link to that, folks, on our Facebook page, so you can take a look at the book.
Ursula, before we get into some of the details about what he had to say with his seven principles, let's take a break and tell folks how to find you if they are interested in talking with you.
My website is, well, like my business is Ursa Alchemy, and my website is 3Ws, UrsaAlchemy.com, and that's with two A's. And my email is UrsaAlchemy@gmail.com. And I offer astrology readings, and I'm also a certified aromatherapist. So I offer astrological aromatherapy services as well. I have a monthly newsletter that people can sign up for on my site where I do just news and happenings, and I do astrological aromatherapy blends for the full moon and the new moon. And I have a coupon code currently in honor of leap year called Leap Day. That's to save 10% on any 60 to 90 minute reading service, and that will expire 11/59 on the 29th. And I'm also hosting my first local astrology circle in Ventnor, New Jersey on March 1st. So if there's any listeners in the southern New Jersey area and you want to come, registration is on my events page on my website.
Great. Wonderful. And I will put links to all of that on that Ursula has just told us on the Deb and Friends Quest for Connection podcast. I can't talk tonight. I'm like so excited about you talking.
And I'm also Ursa Alchemy on Facebook and Instagram. Sorry, I forgot that.
And it's URSULAALCHEMY.
URSA Alchemy.
Hold on. Let me write it down so I've got it exactly right. URSA, A again, right?
Mm-hmm.
Alchemy. Yeah. Ursa Alchemy, not Ursula. Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. All right, good. I will be sure that we put links on that for everybody. All right,
thank
great.
You.
Thank you for that. And folks, you are listening to Deb and Friends Quest for Connection podcast, and you can reach us in many ways. You can certainly listen to this podcast on iTunes and almost any other podcast outlet. We would be delighted for you to connect with us on our Facebook page. That's Deb and Friends Quest for Connection. And you can email me with any questions or comments you may have at debbowenandfriends@gmail.com. So we are delighted to connect with you as always. So thank you so very much, everybody. Okay, Ursula, let's get back to the seven principles that from the inner sky and what that's all about.
So I feel that in a lot of ways, astrology still gets a bad rap. There's a lot of fear around it still. I think back to when I was reading about the history and the time when it was outlawed and predictions people were making and things came true and, you know, people got scared by that and that kind of thing, not really understanding the whole divine timing thing. So in the book, Stephen lays out the seven, what he calls the seven principles, and I would like to share them because just like being a psychic or a tarot reader or a medium, there's no board of ethics with astrology either. So you have to rely on your integrity as a person. And just kind of following, when I took the tarot class with you, you know, we covered ethics and you gave us a lot of information on that. So this is sort of what I try to follow as far as my own code of ethics when it comes to working with people and doing astrology. So he says, the seven fundamental ideas form the backbone of any growth-oriented vision of astrology. Any individual or text that diverges very far from them is probably more a part of astrology's bad karma than part of its future.
Wow.
Principle number one, astrological symbols are neutral. There are no good ones, no bad ones. Number two, individuals are responsible for the way they embody their birth charts. Number three, no astrologer can determine a person's level of response to his birth chart from that birth chart alone. Number four, the birth chart is a blueprint for the happiest, most fulfilling, most spiritually creative path of growth available to the individual. Number five, all deviations from the ideal growth pattern symbolized by the birth chart are unstable states, usually accompanied by a sense of aimlessness, emptiness, and anxiety. Number 6, astrology recognizes only two absolutes, the irreducible mystery of life and the uniqueness of each individual viewpoint on that mystery. Number 7, astrology suffers when wedded too closely to any philosophy or religion. Nothing in the system matters except the intensification of a person's self-awareness.
I'm processing what you just said, and that's a lot, you know, because you're right about the bad rap in that there are some fairly common misconceptions and adages about what astrology is or is not, you know. I remember being in high school and somebody saying, oh, he's a Taurus. And there was a whole constellation of concepts of what that meant, you know, good, bad. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it was a lot. If he was a Taurus, that was something. And, you know, and so when you said symbols are neutral, I get that. And as you were talking, I was thinking about how we, if you look at the idea of reincarnation, and that we come into a lifetime at a precise given moment of time because we need the lessons of that precise moment of time. Does that fit with astrology?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely, 100%. That is one of the things that I go by. I feel like whenever I do a reading for somebody, I really am sitting with their soul.
Wow.
And it's an honor to be able to do that.
Yeah, it sure is. Absolutely, it is. And when you were talking about the birth chart as a blueprint for the happiest, most fulfilling, most spiritually creative path of growth, I thought that's exactly the intent of coming back into a lifetime, mm-hmm. and into a given time is to fulfill whatever that karmic blueprint is. And work towards life's lessons in a loving and wonderful way.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So these are basically the tips that you use, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Go ahead. You were going to say something else.
I just love to, when someone comes for a reading and they're feeling off path or they're feeling a little bit lost, or something has happened, kind of like a wake-up call, and you can see it, and you can help them kind of redirect and get back on the soul's intention.
Wow.
Yeah.
So when you do a reading, it's not just a report of what the sky was like, a natal chart, I guess is my question. You do other additional work. Is that accurate?
That's correct. My starting point is always the birth chart, whether or not they've had it read or cast, or if they have that report. I've had some clients that have had the report, but I'll start with the birth chart, and we'll make sure that they understand the basics. And then we look at where the planets are in the sky now and how things are being activated. And there's other techniques that I use as well.
Uh-huh. Interesting. So if I were to have a reading with you, you would look at my birth chart and you would also say, but right this moment, here's where everybody in the sky is, and this is what this means for you, given your birth chart.
That's correct.
Well, how cool is that? I mean, really, it is, because, you know, I don't know that I think a lot about what my astrology is at the moment. As you and I both know, because we've talked about this, Aquarius Papers is one of my favorite go-to websites for astrology information. And I understand about a tenth of what I read. He is so far beyond me. And
he
I
is
think
so academic.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he really is. And I keep going back thinking, okay, maybe this time I'll get it. But then he starts talking about, I don't know, Jones effects or something, and I'm like, I don't know what that means. I don't have a clue. But I keep trying. But when I go to see what he's looking at, I look at him when there's an eclipse coming or new moons or full moons or we're moving into a new astrological sign or, you know, it's a stage on the wheel of the year for me. And so we're moving into Imbolc, for example. So that's when I look at him. I don't necessarily look at his information for me personally. And part of that is because I don't know that I always understand how the houses work. And he talks a lot about houses.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand all of that.
It's important to have that piece of information for the full picture. So if somebody doesn't have their birth time, there are people that do what's called chart rectification, where they have a certain number of questions that they'll ask, and it's sort of a science in a way to figure out the time, and like I was saying before, the rising sign is what sets up the chart.
Yeah, and I have that. I know my birth time.
Mm-hmm.
Is,
yeah,
but
so,
I don't.
So you have your full chart, which is wonderful.
I do.
And one of the things I've noticed in listening to the podcast that you do about numerology is, in a lot of ways, the number of the house follows what the number means in numerology as well. So that's kind of like a cheat sheet, I guess, for a beginner, because you know numerology so well.
Yeah, I do.
You know, like number four, you would say, is about foundation, stability, family.
Right.
Home, and that's exactly what house four is.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh. Well, I have my primary birth number. My birth number, my name number, my all sorts of numbers is a seven. So what's the seventh house?
Seventh house is all about your most intimate relationships. It's the house of very close friends. It's the house of what we attract in our lives. And it's also, you can look at it as a house of mirrors. So sometimes what we attract in our lives isn't always the best thing, but it's there to teach us a lesson. It's there to show us something in ourselves that we might not have seen.
Wow.
I'm 7'2", by the way.
Oh, good golly, Ursula. we will have to carry this conversation on off air. So, you know, I think probably because of my age, my first real introduction to astrology came with these words. When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars, then peace will guide the planets and love will steer the stars. This is the dawning of the age of Aquarius.
Oh, lovely.
I know, right out of the musical Hair. So what does that mean?
Well, I think that's going to be different for everybody because it's always going to relate back to what's getting activated or aspected in your own chart. Jupiter and Mars only come together once every 2 years. In fact, that's coming up in the sky very, very soon. They're both in Capricorn. Jupiter's in the middle of Capricorn right now, and Mars just went in. It's about 5 degrees. So if you look at the sky before sunrise, you'll see Saturn, Jupiter, and Mars all lined up.
So I would say, Deb,
when the moon's in Aquarius, because that would be your seventh house, pay attention, especially in the next month or so. See what's happening.
Oh, golly. How about that? Wait a minute. I just was on the Smithsonian Magazine website recently, and it's talking, oh, yes. In late February, Mars, Jupiter, and Saturn will line up in the night sky, providing an opportunity to view all three with a pair of binoculars or telescope. Between February 18th and 20th, which we just passed, the moon will pass close to each of these planets, making it easier, no matter where you are, to find them in the night sky.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that? Yeah, I see it. You're right. I remember reading that. Well,
So who knows? So the age of Aquarius may be dawning for me. Is that what you're saying?
It might be. It could be. Pisces now, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
interesting.
It goes all the way around the chart every 28 days.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah, I just I had created an e-course on working with moon energy that's on my website, but it's specifically to the moon. It's not to help folks with other planets because I can't know anything about that. So one of the questions that I have, it is the easiest, isn't it?
It's
to
work with.
Yeah, it is. It certainly is for me anyway. So I know that folks listening to this episode have the burning question of, you know, we're in Mercury retrograde. What does that really mean? And why are we paying attention to it? Why do people flip out about it? And on and on and on. So speak to us of Mercury retrograde.
So that's another thing that gets a very bad rap. And I'm very grateful for the opportunity to help any listener that wants to hear it clarify and change their opinion about Mercury retrograde. So Mercury retrogrades occur 3 to 4 times every year. And when they occur, they're in the signs of the same element. So right now we're in what's called a water elemental year because the retrogrades this year, as well as last year, were in Pisces, Cancer, and Scorpio. The retrograde lasts for about 3 weeks each time. And we're currently in Mercury retrograde in the sign of Pisces. And that began on February 16th, and that will end on March 9th. So it's an optical illusion from our perspective on Earth. Mercury is not really moving backwards, but from our point of view, it is. The best analogy for it is when you're driving down a highway and you pass a car, and that moment where you're moving past it, it looks like it's going backwards. That's what a retrograde is for the inner planets, Mercury and Venus. So Mercury is a planet that's related to all forms of communication, the spoken word, nonverbal communication as well. It's the inner workings of our minds, ideas, language, our intellect. Electronics is one of the reasons why it gets such a bad rap. Mm-hmm. It's also related to merchandise, travel, and friendships. So Mercury is associated with the Greek mythic figure, Hermes Trismegistus. If you've ever heard the quote, as above, so below, as within, so without, as the universe, so the soul, that's directly from Hermes. It's also named after the Roman god Mercury, which was the messenger god, and Mercury was the only god that could travel between realms, so he was like a psychopomp. Mercury is associated with alchemy and the healing arts, with medicine. And if you look to the Tarot, the major arcana key for Mercury is the Magician. So considering all of these things, there are things that can be very frustrating, especially when we have miscommunications, especially when our phone doesn't work or other electronics fail. If you've got car problems, sometimes that can happen during Mercury retrogrades. But it's really a time to focus on all words that start with R-E. If you look at the way people abbreviate the word retrograde, that's RX. So you can kind of look at it as like a prescription. Slow down, reflect, go into retrospect, rest if you can, review, revise, rejoice is one that I like. Mm-hmm. All things are RE. So it's the time, these times of retrograde are when the planet's actually closest to Earth. So in my practice, I like to work with that because it's a wonderful opportunity to take advantage of all of these things, like new ideas, reading new books, calling in things, working with dreams. I call Mercury into my dreams a lot. I'll just keep, you know, drawing the symbol over and over to call the energy in and just be open to receive. The, you know, bad rap also comes from, it's like a trickster energy. So it's like, haha, joke's on you, your phone's not going to work today. So what are you going to do? Are you going to get frustrated and throw it across the room? Or are you going to put it down and maybe go for a walk instead? It's all about being open to what the planet is trying to teach us. So when we have these moments, rather than getting upset, think about what's the lesson? What's the opportunity? Work with the energy, not against it. And I set intentions for Mercury retrograde periods. Working with the cycle is the best way to utilize the energy. And then also knowing what sign it's in is helpful. So right now it's in Pisces. And Mercury in Pisces speaks the language of compassion, oneness, universal love, art, music, dreams, poetry. It's a very different process that Mercury functions in Pisces than it does in the more verbal signs of its rulership of Gemini and then the analyzer of Virgo. So it's helpful to find Pisces in your birth chart, and that'll give you context for some of the themes that you can work with, some of the things that might be happening, and some of the attentions that you can set. Just a real short story, my 11th house is Pisces, so that's my house of community and my tribe. And during the Mercury retrograde and new moon last year, I set the intention that I wanted to find my local tribe. I had tribes all over the country. I did not have it locally. And within 6 months, I was sitting in my first local full moon circle that was 15 minutes from my house.
Wow.
Good. Yeah. And I made, just because having fun with, you know, artistic things and creative things, I made a playlist that's on Spotify for this Mercury retrograde, and it's called Mercury RX Number 1 2020. And
oh, wow.
Yeah, that was really fun to do. There's just an idea I got late one night. I was like, you know what, it'll be really cool to make a playlist. So a lot of the songs that we picked were things related to, you know, like one of the songs is Communication Breakdown, so we just had some fun with it.
Is,
there's also
is that
stuff,
a,
like,
is your Spotify account one that somebody can subscribe to, or is it a private
one? Public. It's public, and I made the playlist collaborative, so anybody can add songs to it.
Oh, good. Would you send me that link, and I'll subscribe, and then I'll put that on our Facebook page, too?
Yes, absolutely.
Cool. Fun. I love Spotify playlist. I love them.
Yeah,
I have many.
Have fun with it. You know, it's just, you know, don't shake your fist at the sky. Be like, oh, Mercury, just breathe and call it in and see what happens. It's magical. When I made that change, I've been working with them now for about 2 years, and it's just been, it's been amazing.
That is so cool. The only thing I have in Pisces is my north node, and I have Mercury in Libra.
Your north node in Pisces is a big deal, Deb.
Is it really?
Yes.
Oh, my God. You know
that's
I'm going to be calling
get
you
into.
Leader, right? You know that.
Yes. That's like the point of the chart that we're all trying to get to. That's like the epitome of our soul's lessons. It can be found in the north node. That's a big deal.
Oh, my God. You know, every single psychic I've ever seen has told me that this is it. I'm out of here after this one.
That makes
sense. Lifetime's one. Mm-hmm. Oh, shoot, and I feel like I got so much else to do.
you can help us. They have to keep coming back.
Oh, I don't think I'm done. I don't know. Golly, Ursula, I can't tell you how wonderful this conversation has been. Will you come back and talk some more on another show?
Absolutely. I would love to.
Great. Wonderful. Good. We got to sign off here in a minute, but I got a million more questions, and I bet other folks do too. So real slowly and real carefully, and again, like I say, folks, I'll put this on our Facebook page, but tell everybody again how they can find you. Let's be sure folks know that.
Okay. My business is Ursa Alchemy. Website is ursaalchemy.com. Email is ursaalchemy@gmail.com. And I offer readings and astrological aromatherapy services. And I'm also on Facebook and Instagram under Ursa Alchemy.
Wonderful. Yeah, we didn't get to all the aromatherapy stuff, and I know that's a whole other conversation, so we'll have to do some more of that as well. Wow. I can't say thank you enough to you for being with us and sharing all of this information in this great conversation tonight. So thank you so, so very much.
Thank you, Deb.
Oh, absolutely. Folks, thank you all for being with us. I so hope that you have enjoyed this episode of Deb and Friends Quest for Connection, and I appreciate you being with me and with Ursula Duffy tonight in our conversation. I hope you'll check out my website, debbowen.com, and subscribe to my monthly newsletter as well. So blessings and deep gratitude to you all. I will be back with you next week. And in the meantime, stay connected to each other. Take care, everyone.